This is Phil Ferrand.
And I am driving home. And you may have noticed there... I don't know if anybody does notice, but there are different beeps and things, and I'm not exactly sure how this is going to work because I'm actually in a rental car this week, and I'm going to have to be really careful going around corners because the recorder is in a different place, and it doesn't seem to be very steady there. Wow, this really does not look steady. I'm going to move this. And we're just gonna do this, and hopefully I won't be too bad side saddle, but we'll try it there. All is well. All is well. It's been an interesting week. There's just been a lot of little things. And there were a couple of little things here on the way out the door today, just few oddities here and there, and actually found a bug that I had missed in one of our forms, which is a little bit sad, but we've got a workaround till we get that fixed. Interesting things going on in the world. Just interesting things going on. So, yeah, it's so interesting. So, I wasn't really sure what I wanted to talk about today. I do have notes. Well, first of all, writing is going fine. It feels like I should have this book finished already, but I'm still tweaking the epilogue. So I don't think I'm quite done. I may land it tonight. And then I may just start my editing and, you know, try to get to something slightly better. The epilogue is a really interesting pull this time. Normally, with the epilogues on the book, on these books, the point is to try to make people cry in the epilogues. And this particular one is a really delicate balance. But there's a point I'm trying to get across in this book. And the point that I'm trying to get across is that we have our ways of doing things. But God has different ways of doing things. And in our lives, we have the opportunity to just say, well, forget that. I'm just going to do things my way. Or we have the opportunity to take a step back and see it from God's perspective and trust in His way of approaching things. And so it's going to be, you know, it's going to be really interesting to see how all of this works out. I think the book is going to be fine. I think I know what I'm doing on cover now. I've got some costumes coming in for the kids. And I think that's going to be fine. And the book is going to be fine. And I'm working on a Halloween costume now, and it's going to be fine. And work is going to be fine. You know, we had an odd error come through on a form just before I left, and I think I got them patched to where they could get done what they needed to get done, besides the bug that I found as well. But all of that's going to be fine. You know, it's going to be fine. So, you know, God has been so kind and so gracious that all is well. And I'm going into the weekend now, and you know, I have this wonderful 2 days now when I can hopefully make people smile a little bit and get their minds off everything that's going on in the world for a moment or two and just have a little fun. So, you know, all is well. All is well. There's been many times in my life when I have relied on the fact that God's a good God, that He'll give us wisdom. And it's really interesting because part of the process of this life, I think, part of the really essential processes of this life is coming to this understanding of living in time, living in the moments, and being present in the moment, and just enjoying that moment for what it is, no matter what it contains. Because as we've talked about before, there is beauty in everything, even though it might not feel like it at times. There is beauty in everything. So it's good. I did have notes on a talk that I had found on the internet talking about the process of mass psychosis, which is pretty interesting. And maybe I'll just do that next week. For this week, you know, part of me hesitates to talk again about COVID because it just seems like, wow. But, you know, there is at least a bit of progress, because it's so interesting because Ron DeSantis of Florida starts talking about early treatment using monoclonal antibodies, you know, which are thousands of dollars a dose. And he gets just panned in some of the press. And then Fauci turns around and talks about it. And everybody's like, oh, well, okay. But at least we're talking about some early treatment stuff. And I see that as just a really positive development. I had breakfast with a friend who's going through some things this morning. And he asked me at one point, you know, whether I was vaccinated. And when I said no, he just looked at me like, what do you mean you're not vaccinated? You know, and so, I mean, we, of course, spun into a conversation. Now, as it turns out, we moved off into other things that were far more important to talk about with him than whether or not I was vaccinated, which is just fine. And I actually, once we started into this topic, I actually stopped and I basically said, look, my friend, I know that you need someone to listen and to provide comfort at this point and to, you know, talk about your situation. And I am more than happy to do that. And, you know, the vaccines, yes, vaccines, no vaccines, you know, that's just a side issue. It's just nothing. And so we did spend quite a bit of time talking about his situation, but we did at one point stumble into the issue of vaccines. And it's a very complicated issue. I am right in the middle of listening to one of the founders of the Frontline COVID Critical Care Alliance, not Pierre Corey, the other guy, Paul Merrick. And it's very interesting to hear him talk about where we are 15 months into this thing, you know, or however many months we're into this thing. But we are, yeah, if you want to say February of March of last year and we're in August, so we're 15, 16, 17 months into this thing. And it's very interesting to hear him talk about it, because they just keep coming back to the fact that this is a very complicated disease. COVID is very complicated, and it does all of these strange, weird things, and you know, they did talk about the whole lab leak hypothesis and how that, you know, that seems to have the preponderance of evidence at this point that this did escape from a lab in Wuhan, the Wuhan Institute. And that this appears to be something that was monkeyed with, you know, that was enhanced, because it just does so many strange things to the human body. You know, and what has been fascinating to me is to watch here recently as there has just been this continuing story of, well, there's no early treatment, there's no early treatment, there's no early treatment. And now, you know, at least we're starting to talk about using monoclonal antibodies, and that they are successful, and they, you know, there's been stories that have been put out about how that this will reduce hospitalizations and deaths by 85%. Well, that's good. That is good. And when I had started talking to my friend over breakfast about it, the first thing, when he said, "What do you mean you're not vaccinated?" I just looked at him, I said, "What is the justification for getting vaccinated?" And he looked at me like, you know, what are you talking about? What do you mean justification? Of course there's a justification. I said, okay, why am I supposed to get vaccinated? I said, in the early days, the early days, no one seems to remember this now, but in the early days, it was, well, you're going to get a vaccine and then you won't get COVID. But COVID is a coronavirus. We've known that from the beginning. It's a coronavirus. Coronaviruses mutate. And as soon as it got out into the world as deep as it did, because its existence was hidden for so long, and so that gave it plenty of time to spread around, that genie was not going back in that bottle. And once it gets into more and more and more and more bodies, you can count on the fact that, yeah, it's definitely, it's gonna mutate. And so, you know, I asked my friend this morning, I said, so why should I get vaccinated? I said, understand that I'm not against vaccinations. Absolutely, I'm not against vaccinations. I'm getting my mail. I said, listen, I went overseas as a little kid. You know, I would go in and we would get hammered in one arm and hammered in the other arm. And then, you know, you come back in 2 weeks and get hammered in one arm, get hammered in the other arms. I mean, I've been vaccinated like crazy. Would get cholera booster shots, typhoid booster shots all the time, the whole time I'm in the Philippines. You know, but, you know, while it was originally supposed to keep you from getting COVID, then once we figured out, oh, you know what, it's not really going to keep you from getting COVID, then the line turned to, well, it'll keep you from getting hospitalized. And then Israel, which has done the best job of anyone of getting, you know, getting people vaccinated. So, you know, Israel, which has done the best one of anyone of doing that. I heard a stat this last week that, in fact, in Israel, 60% of the people who are hospitalized with COVID have been fully vaccinated, double dosed, precisely where they needed to be, blah, 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 blah. You know, So I kept asking my friend, so why am I getting vaccinated? You know, and then we got off onto other things, and so we didn't really get that finished. And of course, once you start looking at the cost-benefit analysis, and you start, you know, saying, well, okay, you know, if the whole purpose is to keep myself out of the hospital and keep from dying, you know, there are other things, there are other treatments like monoclonal antibodies at this point, like apparently ivermectin is still effective in A, keeping you from getting it, and then B, shortening the duration, because it's really important to shorten the duration of the virus. If you get it, it's really important to get it killed off as fast as possible. I think we know that now. That's our dog barking, if you can hear that. I mean, it's really important because COVID goes through multiple stages. And these stages, they just get worse if you don't catch this thing early. So, you know, you have the initial virus stage. I was listening to Paul Merrick talk about this. He said, you've got this initial virus stage. And then he said, within 10 days, sometimes 8 days, sometimes whatever, the virus is actually dead, but it has put so many spike proteins into your system. He said, you know, in a normal course, trillions of spike proteins into your systems, that causes this immune system response. And the immune system is just going crazy with inflammation. And so that's like the second phase of it. And then all of that inflammation causes enough trouble in the pulmonary stuff that then you put yourself at risk for blood clots and those types of things. And so you can get released from the hospital and everybody goes, hey, we got a release from the hospital. It's great. And people go home and they die at home from blood clots. I mean, it is a very insidious, very unpredictable disease. And the best thing the vaccines have going for them at this point is they do appear to help people end up not hospitalized, although their effectiveness is waning, apparently. So, it's just really interesting. And I don't know if it's happened any other places, but the push against ivermectin has definitely started here in Missouri. And the tact that is being taken is, well, the Poison Control Center is getting calls. There's a definite uptick because there were 39 calls this year into the Poison Control, specifically with regards to ivermectin. And so the whole report, and I have to say that the news article was balanced and they did cover all the bases, but if you just read the headlines, you would completely breeze by it. And that is that people are going, because it's so hard to get ivermectin, because they have to jump through so many hoops, because so few doctors will prescribe it, because the FDA hasn't said you can use it for that, that people are going to feed stores and stuff and getting horse ivermectin or dog ivermectin. And they're not paying attention to the dosages, and they're getting the dosages off by a decimal point. So they're taking 10 times as much or 20 times as much as they should. And what's interesting is the article never says these people are dying. They're probably getting sick and throwing up and then calling Poison Control. And, you know, but then the article goes on to list all the horrific things that could happen to you. You know, if you take too much of it, well, you overdose on pretty much anything, you're going to have a problem. But that seems to be the push. And then you've got this week, the FDA, of course, coming out and saying, don't take ivermectin. Don't take ivermectin. That's bad. Don't take it. And then you get down into it and they talk about, well, don't take veterinarian ivermectin. Okay, what the article, everything is written up at the top, you know, to just say ivermectin, not veterinary ivermectin, just ivermectin. And then somewhere buried down in the article, it says, well, you know, it has been prescribed for humans as well for certain things. You know, for certain things has been prescribed for some things. I mean, it's hundreds of millions of doses of ivermectin. And every time the FDA says, well, it's not an antiviral, except if you just put in, you know, is ivermectin an antiviral drug? I came across this article in the Journal of Antibiotics or something like this, where they're saying, yes, it's been used successfully against this virus and RNA viruses in vitro and in vivo and blah, 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 you know, but there's right now this push because, you know, you got to protect the vaccines. And now that we do have early treatments, thank God we have early treatments, because that will significantly cut down the number of deaths and number of hospitalizations. Because if you can catch it early and kill that thing out, early on, you're not going to get near the inflammation. If you don't get the inflammation, you're not going to get the hospital stays. If you don't get the hospital stays, you know, you aren't going to get the deaths. So all that's good, but it's just so fascinating to watch how we're just going to completely ignore something that when mass produced should cost 3 cents a dose, and instead we're going to push and push and push and recommend monoclonal antibodies because they're $2,000 or $3,000 a dose. But that's what it is. And it's been interesting to me that with this being a coronavirus and it mutates as much, that we've always held out this hope that, well, but, you know, if your immunity sticks, I guess it'll be fine, you know, but it's a coronavirus. And it was interesting to me that this week the CEO of Pfizer came out and said, well, you have to understand that if we do get a variant that goes around the vaccines, well, you know, I mean, we can put out a booster shot for that variant within 90 days, you know, so we'll be okay. And so now what we have is a situation where either we're going to recommend early treatment that is thousands of dollars a pop, you know, or we're going to tell people, well, there's another variant, so now you need another booster shot. Or we're going to tell people, well, you know, after 8 months, you're going to need another booster shot. And it's just, I mean, this thing is going to be a gold mine for the pharmaceutical companies. It's just going to be a gold mine. And it's just really going to be interesting to see. There is an Oxford study that is supposedly being done on the effectiveness of ivermectin. And it's going to be really interesting to see whether they get bought out or not. Because there was one study that said, yeah, ivermectin, it's no good against COVID. And that was the study that was sponsored by the pharmaceutical companies. Okay. Interesting times. These are just really interesting times. And this is only one thing. It's only one thing. You got all the stuff that's going on at the border. You've got all the stuff that's going on in Afghanistan with soldiers dying now. Interesting times. But I think what's really important in all of this is a deep recognition that we are strangers and foreigners in this world, that we have another country that we call our own. And that God is with us and that he'll help us. And that we can move with him through the moments of our life, even though there might be something on the horizon that's concerning. We can move with him through the moments of our lives. And we can see his goodness and his kindness and his grace in our lives. And we can rest assured that he's in control. And that he's going to work everything out. And, you know, maybe it will be the way we wished it would be, or maybe it won't. But it'll be just fine because he's with us. This is Phil Ferrand, and I have made it home.